98% pure potato.
98% pure potato.
Hi, this is John Griffiths again for the next podcast in the 98% Pure Potato podcast series. If you haven't listened to the last one, which is based on the interviews, the first lot of interviews that we interviewed on whom the book was based, I suggest you might want to listen to that first, because in effect this is a continuation when I go through to do what it's you can't normally do in a book, because there isn't the space or the time to tell the sort of the backstory of how we got in touch with these people and what it was like actually talking to them. But I'll continue therefore in the series with interview number 17, who is with Lee Godden. Lee Godden was very hard to get hold of for two reasons, one of which was because she is a painter who was painting in the Pyrenees, and so apologised that she was continually out of contact because she had no internet signal. But the other reason why she was difficult to get hold of was that she really wasn't convinced that she'd be a good person to interview. I persisted because it seemed to be important that as we had the names from right across at Boaz Massimi Pollitt and J. Walter Thompson, that we did talk to everyone who we could get hold of until we got 10 of each. And I was really glad I persisted, because by the time we got her back, she was back in London, and she agreed to come and be interviewed. She proved to be a really fascinating interviewee. The thing about Lee is that in her own understanding, she is a very instinctive and intuitive person rather than someone who is analytical. So she constantly talked herself down as being not really in the same league as a lot of the other planners that are at J. Walter Thompson. Whereas from other people's testimony, it was perfectly obvious that she played a unique role, because JWT Planning placed huge value on brands and understanding brands. And because of Lee's intuition, she was really good at understanding whether a new script on Unilever was going to fit what the brand was about or not. And we had testimony to that from several people. The other thing which was interesting about her was that she was so intuitive that after she'd been doing this a while and she wanted to move on to other things, she moved into HR. So if you've imagined that planning is only concerned with marketing, interesting to discover that someone with those levels of intuition actually went on to continue to work at J. Walter Thompson, but to work with people in recruitment and looking after people within J. Walter Thompson. But I thought that was really interesting. Jane Newman was our next interview. She was important because she was one of the first hires at Boaz Massimi Pollitt, but also because after leaving Boaz Massimi Pollitt, she'd moved to the United States, where ultimately Jay Chiat hired her to start a planning department at Chiat Day. She, in effect, has been recognised as the mother of account planning in the United States, and shortly after interviewing her, was inducted into the American Advertising Hall of Fame. Jane was quite difficult to get a hold of, because she normally lives in Africa. That's where she lives now, and she works on the Thorntree Project, developing the literacy of Samburu girls. After Jane, we interviewed Jim Williams. Now, Jim Williams was hired at the same time as Jane Newman, and so he was at BNP before moving to Y&R. Really interesting character, because it was Jim's interest in archetypes and archetyping which has meant that the whole strand of archetyping comes from him in account planning. But he also used this to develop the brand asset valuator, the quantitative technique for evaluating brands, which Y&R have used ever since. Jim, I hadn't realised until the book came out, died 2 years after the interview. And then the 20th interview was with Tony Mortimer. Interesting character, because he was at Pritchard Wood, the agency which preceded Boaz Massimi Pollitt, and then had been recruited to J. Walter Thompson, and then moved on to CDP. He was the planner on that campaign, Heineken Refreshes the Parts Other Beers Don't Reach, so it was interesting to talk to about that. But I think the other thing I appreciated about the Tony Mortimer interview, he plays jazz at least once a week, and talked about the importance of having both the discipline, so you've got the underlying structure, but also being able to go with the flow. And the final couple of interviews, which were related to planning specifically, were with Tessa and Katie Pollitt, the daughters of Stanley Pollitt, who I managed to track down. And they wanted to talk about their dad, and we had quite an emotional interview as they talked about their experience of him as a child and what it was like growing up with someone who was so passionate about the ideas which led to account planning. Also kind of interesting, because Tessa was one of the members of the punk band The Slits, so there's a little bit of a borrowed glamour from that, which Stanley never really came to terms with. The last planning interview that I got was with David Clifford and with Catherine Chambers. Now, they were two planners at a CDP and were able to explain the way in which planning had worked while Frank Lowe was there during that second golden age of CDP advertising. But David Clifford also very important, because it was really based on his briefing that Jay Chiat realised that what made CDP special was not simply creativity, but the ability to persuade clients to buy creative work. And that's really where Jay Chiat got the idea of bringing planning to the United States. And as I've already said, Jay Newman was the first planner that he hired. Now, those were the core interviews that I did, on the basis of which we did the first draft of the book. However, the process of getting the book out took so long that it seemed prudent to talk to other people around the start of account planning. And so therefore, I just got the recorder out and went to talk to other people. And these were the ones that we spoke to. The first being John Steele, who had already interviewed when the book Perfect Pitch came out. But I did a Skype interview with him to understand about his experience of the growth of planning in the USA, and particularly during his time at Goodby Silverstein. So it was really useful to talk about the early days of planning in the States with John. The next interview was with Roddy Glenn. Now, I was trained in part as a qualitative researcher by Roddy Glenn, so it was good to catch up with him. Now, he was hired by David Cowan when David Cowan was head of planning at BNP to improve or control the quality of qualitative research at Burrs Massimi Pollitt. So I thought he was a useful person to talk to as a researcher who had a perspective on BNP planning, and so it proved. He claimed that pretty much all of his experience as an advertising researcher came from the experience he'd had working alongside the planners at Burrs Massimi Pollitt and David Cowan in particular. We then go on to Jeff Howard Spink. Now, he was hired as a suit at Burrs Massimi Pollitt, was then headhunted across to CDP, and then when Frank Lowe set up his own agency, Jeff was invited by Frank to start an agency with him, and that's how Lowe Howard Spink came to be. And at that point, Jeff moved across from being a senior suit to being a head of planning. And he has a very pragmatic view of planning, and it was really useful to talk to him because he was able to talk both about BNP and CDP, but also about the way he thought that planning should work without a great deal of fuss being useful to developing the creative. After that, an interview with Peter Dart. Now, Peter Dart was a brand manager of Persil during the time when we were interviewing planners at J. Ross Thompson in the 1970s. And he told us a lot about the experience of what it was like being a client going in to J. Ross Thompson and working with the planners there, one of them being Lee Gobin. And Peter Dart also played an interesting role because he then went off and started his own company, Added Value, where he was pulling consulting projects away from agencies and in effect was in direct competition with account planning. So it was also interesting to hear about that. The next interview was with John Bartle. Now, John Bartle is known as the founder of Bartle, Bogle, Hegarty, but there's an interesting piece of prehistory here because he was one of the first ever planning clients, because it was he who was a research manager at Cadbury's when Pritchard Wood did their initial planning experiment, and then when BNP had Cadbury's as their only client, and so therefore was able to talk with authority about what it was like as a client being on the receiving end of Burrs Massimi Pollitt planning. From Cadbury's, he moved on to start the planning function at TBWA, which was a kind of halfway house between BNP planning and JWT planning. And then from there, he went on to found his own agency, Bartle, Bogle, Hegarty. So an absolutely key interview, and we were absolutely thrilled, Tracy and I, that he was willing to write the foreword for the book for us. From there, on to Judy Lannan. Now, Judy Lannan was really invaluable because it was she who provided the names of the planners at JWT, and helped as best she could with tracking down their emails so we could start this whole process of finding out where they were and interviewing them, many of them in retirement. But Judy Lannan being a really significant figure because of the way in which she was hired by Stephen King in 1968 to start a creative research department, which was plugging consumer research, that's depth interviews and qualitative research groups, right into J. Walsh Thompson just at the time when the planning department was started. So it played a very significant role in moving qualitative research away from being something which was very motivational and to do with psychotherapy into something which was much more practical, pragmatic, which could be plugged straight into the way in which advertising was developed. And Karina Lodge was the next person that we spoke to. Now, she was a researcher at Pritchard Wood, and it was really her insight into how qualitative research should be conducted that she was the other great democratizer of research alongside Judy Lannan in taking it away from these motivational research people, making it much, much simpler. And it was her model which Peter Jones used when he was working at in the early days at Burns Massimi Pollitt and trying to decide how you developed a research testing system, which meant that every single piece of advertising at Burns Massimi Pollitt got tested. It was Karina Lodge's ideas that he was using to make that work. Now, Karina never joined Burns Massimi Pollitt, but went off to start her own NPD consultancy called Creighton Lodge and Knight. And at that consultancy, she developed a lot of original thinking around developing country brands. The next interviewee was Adam Lurie. Now, he was quite difficult to persuade to do the interview because he was concerned that the book would simply be a tribute to Burns Massimi Pollitt planning, and he was not a fan, even though he'd worked at BMP. So it took a bit of persuading to get him to be interviewed because he was really quite critical of it. And he explained why he had reservations about it and how he then changed the way he approached planning when he started up his own agency, HHCL, Hal Henry, Caldecott, Lurie. So that was a really useful interview to have because Adam Lurie has gone on to be very creative in terms of how he's taken planning concepts into other places, specifically in terms of development in East Africa. The next interviewee was at Groucho's, the most glamorous location, I think, of the interviews that we had, and that was with Dave Trott. He was hired by John Webster at Burns Massimi Pollitt from being a junior creative at New York, where he trained in art school there. He was a creative who was on the receiving end of BMP planning and wasn't always very polite about it, but had stayed there for a number of years before he then went off to start his own agency, Gold Greenlee's Trott. So this was a creative's perspective on account planning, where it was useful and where it wasn't. And Dave Trott was really helpful in that afternoon's interview. And then the final interview, almost leaving this till last because he was such a significant figure, was with Jeremy Bullmore, who was a creative head at J. Walsh Thompson through the whole period in which Stephen King was starting up account planning and was a lifelong friend of Stephen King. And in some ways, he's the living guardian of the Stephen King legacy. And was concerned that JWT planning should be given the credibility that it has alongside BMP. Stephen King's final wishes were that that JWT planning was seen as something which started at the same time as BMP and that they were doing the same sort of thing but in different ways. So that final interview with Jeremy Bullmore was the last interview that we conducted before the book went to press, the book you have in your hands now. But I hope that this rather scrappy description of the interviews has filled in the picture somewhat about the people we spoke to, why we thought they were important, and what an important contribution they made to our understanding of how planning started at J. Walsh Thompson and Burns Massimi Pollitt. Thanks for listening.